Hello, and welcome to COJ Roleplaying. My name is Eric, and I will be your keeper of arcane lore as we explore Call of Cthulhu investigation, The Darkness Beneath the Hill. And tonight I'm joined by my plucky investigators, and I'll introduce them, starting with Steve.
Good evening, everybody. My name's Steve, and I will be playing Dorian Dunn.
All right, thank you. And next is Kate.
Afternoon, I'm Dottie Nelligan, a journalist.
And as you all might, if you know, if you were listening to our last investigation, Dottie died. But because of some misunderstanding of the rules, Dottie didn't die. So she's back. And after that, we have Graham.
Hi, everyone. Graham here. I'm playing Dr. Conrad Klein, a practicing clinical psychologist.
Excellent. And Mark.
And I've got Lieutenant Donald Kennedy, pilot.
And finally, Goose.
Hi, everyone. I am now playing Dr. Jacob Gibson.
Very good. Hey.
A professor of occult at the, I fucking knew I was going to fuck it up,
Miskatonic.
Miskatonic University in Arkham.
There you go. Okay.
That'll be fun for Daniela to edit out.
Yes, it will. So, after the end of our last investigation, we had our investigators were wounded in one way or another. Dottie, after a extended hospital stay, has recovered from her near-death experience and is now back to relative full health, but she does have some significant scarring on her neck now. And the rest of the investigators who survived are now at full health as well. Dorian Dunn, the bare-knuckle boxer, attempted to gain some sanity back by going into some personal therapy. Unfortunately, the treatment did not take very well, and he actually slipped a little further towards insanity. And with that, the three of you who weren't mistakenly dead were pleased to find, in the day after the investigation, good news that Dottie had in fact survived. It does make, especially Mr. Dunn, who had currently been drowning himself in alcohol in order to deal with the situation, feel at least a little bit better about how things went down, though there were a couple of deaths. As the month afterwards draws to a close, and prohibition has now entrenched itself in the United States of America, you all individually get a telegram from Mr. Bennett, indicating that now is the time in which he is going to require you to head to Providence to help out somebody. And, Dottie, I would like you to make, let's call it an intelligence check. They call it a no roll in this, but I want you to roll under your intelligence.
I've got 100.
Oh.
Guys, why did I switch to physical dice in the first place? I should have stuck with my virtual one.
You found them, did you? Okay. Well, he tells you all that you'll be meeting a Mr. Josh Winscott, who is currently just inherited a house from his aunt. And in the town of Providence, you will also be meeting, oh, and I closed it down, so that was smart of me. I closed down the name. I have closed down the document that gave me the name of Goose's character. Yes. You'll be meeting a doctor, Jacob Gibson, at the train station in Providence. So you all find your way to the train station. It is a relatively inexpensive ticket to get to Providence. It's only $1.53 for the ride there, considering how much you made during your last investigation. This will certainly be manageable. And since you all do actually have paying jobs, you quite easily afford the fare.
One thing I didn't mention, Eric, over the month of downtime, Conrad would have looked at that book in Latin, the Libra Bonus.
The Libra Bonus? Okay. I would like you to deduct from your maximum sanity, I would like you to reduce 2%. You now have 97% maximum sanity.
Okay. 97.
And I would like you to add 2% to your Cthulhu Mythos score.
No.
Unless you believe that Conrad could not possibly believe that what's in the book is real.
Conrad's starting to come around to that.
Okay.
Maybe
it is possible
something, you know, that we need to investigate a little more here too.
Okay, very good, very good. Yes. Okay, that is not at all difficult. You find that, and you find that there is the possibility within this book of learning how to do some things that would be considered supernatural.
Okay, so where the heck is the Cthulhu Mythos score on your sheet?
It should be alphabetically listed in with your rest of your skills.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so it can go up to 2%?
Up 2%, yeah. Right. It's not a lot because you haven't had a lot of experience yet.
2-1 and nothing.
Yes. Well, 1 is still, it would be 2-1-1.
Okay.
Yes. You can't go you can't roll below a 1, so you couldn't roll a hard success. It would be an extreme, well, it would be a critical success no matter what. So.
All right, 2%. I'm sorry, you said the book said, what did I learn from the book?
There's a possibility of learning how to essentially cast a spell.
Oh.
If that's something you wish to pursue, we can discuss offline. What it could be that Dr. Klein could learn. I am not going to teach you how to summon and bind a dimensional shambler, but that is certainly something that was learned from that book, but I think you might have to start with something a bit more basic. Or you might suffer some severe consequences.
Yes.
Successive studying of the Librivanus may increase your Cthulhu Mythos score. I'll have to look into that a bit more, but you won't be doing that during this investigation.
No, that's fine. Okay.
Okay. So you all arrive at the train station roughly the same time, and I'm assuming that you'll be traveling together roughly in the same car and whatnot, unless one of you really feels antisocial with the others. As you board the train, and would you be getting a private car for you guys, or would you be just traveling in a main compartment?
Have we seen each other in the intervening month? Other than Dorian and Conrad have spent some time together, but
that's very much up to you guys.
Jacob will have a private car.
Jacob is traveling different.
Yeah.
I feel like Dorian would probably be amenable to hanging out with the group. We did share some stuff. Some stuff went down. We bonded over necromancers and whatnot.
Blind Ash.
Mr. Kennedy, have you been available with the others, or have you been aloof?
I've been available after 2 weeks in a hospital bed. Hopefully some of them came to visit.
You and Dottie were in the same hospital. All it would be was just a trip down the hallway, kind of, to find each other. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so we probably hung out.
I'll bring donuts to the... I would have brought donuts to the hospital.
Very good.
And Dorian would bring the Irish coffees.
Very. Well, only up to a certain point could... Well, I mean, you do have some connections, but alcohol is very much right now illegal.
Yes. Get a prescription at Walgreens.
Well, right now they're starting those like booze cruises, right? Cruise ships that just go offshore 5.5 miles offshore, and everyone gets drunk.
That is very much an option in Boston, Massachusetts. It is a port city.
They have mouthwash back then.
Yep. Listerine.
Listerine, yeah. So, then I'm guessing you would all be amenable to traveling together so you can talk, chat.
Yes, we need to talk about the cult from the Chapel of Contemplation.
Okay.
Those psychos are still out there somewhere.
Indeed they are. So as the train starts chugging and departing the station, after about 10, 20 minutes, you all notice something. Something you really hadn't noticed before. Actually, you know what? Make a spot hidden check for me, all of you.
Spot hidden.
Yep.
All right.
Nope, no Dottie.
Got a 96.
Nope, Conrad.
Nope, critical fail, 95.
Oh, dear.
I succeeded technically.
Technically? That technically is all that's required.
My score is 84. I rolled 84.
That's good enough. Mr. Kennedy?
Oh, easily. This is one of my strong skills. I got a strong success.
Excellent. As you're pulling out of the station, the two of you, or actually after several minutes after having left the station, the two of you notice the distinct lack of the smell of molasses in the air. Unfortunately, that is lost on Dr. Klein and Dottie.
As you pull away. Right now.
I was going to do that. It was for you, but...
Oh, well.
But yes, the smell of molasses leaves your nostrils as you depart from the city of Boston. And you find your way up towards the town of Providence. It is about a 2.5-hour train ride. So if you would like to start discussing the Chapel of Contemplation or anything else, you have 2.5 hours in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there was... trying to find the police report. There's a whole bunch of handouts.
Indeed, there are.
There's a lot of handouts.
The redacted one?
You don't get to know what's in the non-redacted one. Your character does not know any of that.
Yeah, that's fine. No, but there was one guy, the pastor who escaped from prison. What was his name?
Michael.
Thomas Corbett. He was the...
Myers.
No, unfortunately not. That would have been from...
But anyway, yeah, so there...
Michael Thomas.
Pardon me?
Reverend Michael Thomas.
Reverend Thomas, that's it. And there has... I assume there has been nothing in the papers about his recapture.
That happened some time ago. His escape happened some time ago. He has not been seen in the city of Boston for some time.
All right, so, yeah.
We can only hope that he still has that outstanding mustache.
Anyway, they're out there. We don't know about the redacted report. Based on the redacted report, we're not sure exactly what happened to all the cultists under the church, but they did blow it up with dynamite, so presuming they're all dead. But likely there are others. So we need to be watchful.
We do have a fairly substantial list of names of... presumably everybody that's in this cult. I've got some friends. I could pass this list off to them and see if anybody can possibly track down some of these people and tell us where they might be or if they're even alive.
Yeah, the Register of Enlightenment, right? Contemplation, yeah. It's hard to read.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
It's old. It's been weathered. Should be hard to read.
And, well, the font is hard to read.
Yes, I have noticed that with some of the Cthulhu stuff. Some of the fonts are quite hard to read.
So. All right, well, I guess that's the best we can do for now as far as keeping an eye out. Because unless they come to Boston University and enroll in one of my lectures or... come to me for therapy, I'm likely not going to be able to track them down.
Very good.
So have we met Mr. Gibson, or?
Nope, not yet.
Okay.
Nope, you've informed that Mr. Gibson will meet you at the train station in Providence.
Oh, okay, when we get there. All right.
And that's Providence, Rhode Island?
It is.
Okay, so I'm going to have a longer trip. It's Providence south of Boston.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
That's okay, I'm just on the train longer.
Oh, now I'm thinking of... Yeah, I'm going to say that you arrived about a day ahead of time.
Okay.
Found yourself a place to stay and whatnot.
Oh, and Josh's last name, Josh, gentleman, his last
name... Winscott.
Winscott.
Josh Winscott.
Yes.
And he's the one that bought a house? Or is he like a liaison between...
He has recently inherited a house.
Okay. And sorry, what's the name of our the guy that's sending on us on this job again?
Mr. Arthur Bennett. He helped clean up the mess in the Corbett house for you guys, and has recruited you for this investigation.
I can't remember what the name of the Dorian wouldn't know it, but Steve can't remember what the name of the organization he likely belongs to is.
Oh, he didn't tell you.
I know he didn't, but knowing the Cthulhu mythos and stuff, I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but I can't remember what they're called in the stuff.
If you're thinking of the Silver Twilight Lodge.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
I'm going to tell you right now that you'd be wrong, but that's okay, because I get to make up things in this world, too. So
yep.
I have made up my own little secret
nice.
Organization.
Good for you.
Yes, I know.
okay. Yeah, so I don't have, other than the cult and the Chapel of Contemplation, these psychos, I don't really have much else to say. I will apologize to Mr. Dunn for, you know, his regression, although sometimes you have to take some steps back before you take steps forward in therapy.
Yeah, it's possible at this point that you've uncovered a little bit more trauma that you kind of boxed away when it was happening. Perhaps I think the realization that the face in the tub and the face in the room of Mr. Corbett has been haunting you a little.
Yes, and repeated blows to the head need to be studied from a scientific point of view. We don't know yet what happens, although there are many cases of people going simple after getting struck in the head.
Indeed there are. So, assuming that your conversations drift towards the more mundane aspects of life, the rest of your trip is largely uneventful. Aside from being slightly disturbed by the appearance of the beverage and snack cart that comes down the train. All the beverages are, in fact, quite non-alcoholic. But there is some water or soda pop that can be available, or snacks and cigarettes. Cigars at a higher price, of course.
Oh, well, I would just assume everyone's just smoking.
Of course, but I mean, if your pack is empty and you did not pack another one, I mean, or if it's in with your luggage, then cigarettes are available, of course.
Like it's what, 1920, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So everyone smokes like it's a cure for cancer.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Calms you right down, actually.
Cigarette sales are probably way up with booze sales off limits.
Cigarette sales spiked probably very much after World War I and have increased again now that alcohol is very much out. It is very much unavailable to a lot of people. So as the train pulls into the station in Providence, you disembark and collect your luggage, and... Standing off by himself a man who's got no luggage with him. Who's care to describe your character?
He stands buffly, just shy of 6 foot tall, scruffy beard. Looks like he is well dressed, and walks with a cane. Well, he's holding a cane.
Mr. Gibson, you had a fairly good description of the four people you're looking for, and these four people very much stand out, especially since they are together as a group. You gather that these are the people you've been waiting for.
These are the droids?
Yes, very much the droids you are looking for.
Gentlemen, lady, my name is Dr. Jacob Gibson. I assume I'm expecting the four of you.
I'll shake his hand. Nice to meet you.
Yep.
Dr. Gibson. I'm Dr. Klein.
Lieutenant Kennedy.
Dottie offers her hand. Hello, Dr. Gibson.
Dorian Dunn.
Perfect.
These are, in fact, the names you were expecting.
Oh, perfect. Even better. I believe we are to meet Mr. Bennett?
No, you are not meeting Mr. Bennett. You know that you need to go and meet Mr. Winscott at his new house. He knows that you are going to be arriving.
Want to try that again?
You're going to meet Mr. Winscott at his house. He knows that you will be arriving.
Ah, perfect. I believe we're going to meet Mr. Winscott. I do have a vehicle waiting for us.
Oh, very good.
Yes, indeed. We'll just say it's a large-ish taxi cab that'll fit all of your luggage and all of you into one vehicle, just for the sake of, brevity. And, that will first take you to the place in which you will be staying for the night. A local hotel that's within the city of Providence. So you all managed to check into your rooms and get yourself settled in with get your luggage all stowed away and head over to Mr. Winscott's estate.
Estate, eh?
Ooh. Well, the estate. His new house. Though the house is a very nicely sized, well-appointed house. It does seem like it came from this is a house that, money built kind of house.
Slave owners.
You might not be as far from the truth as your levity suggests.
Okay, I guess, we'll head over.
Okay. Now you find yourself going to, and I have the address right here, 79 Power Street.
Power!
Indeed. As your cab arrives up to the house, you go up and go to the front door. Does one of you knock or anything?
Yeah, I guess the expectation is we're meeting somebody here, this Mr. Winscott, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
As you knock on the door just slightly opens. It's been closed over. It's not actually closed.
Oh, it was just shut.
Yeah, it was closed over without the latch being thrown in the door handle.
All right.
So it just kind of drifts open.
Does it creak eerily?
It creaks a little. I wouldn't say it's eerie, but it's got a little bit of a creak to it. It could use some WD-40.
Hello?
You hear way off in what seems like this is the house, a little, hello? Come back. Seems like further in the house someone has responded to you, but it's really faint.
Lights on, lights off.
There are some lights on.
Yeah. Jacob will proceed.
Okay. As you're proceeding into the front foyer of the house, you start hearing some feet on steps coming up. And someone comes out around through the from the entrance to the kitchen. Kate, I want you to make another intelligence check.
Thirty-nine.
Okay, that's under your intelligence roll. You actually kind of recognize this person. This, you know, the name didn't strike you before. I mean, there's probably lots of Joshes out there, but this is you used to like travel in wealthy circles before you decide to go off on your own and make your own way in the world. And yet, you kind of recall this Josh from your childhood because. Well, he's also coming from money. So, in the Massachusetts area, that's not entirely uncommon. And so he recognizes you right away. It's possible that maybe he remembers you a bit more than you remember him. He says, Donnie, I was told to expect someone I knew. I did not think it would be you. And he offers you his hand.
Dottie takes his hand. She says, I'm so sorry. Do I know you? Like, I recognize you.
Joshua Wiscott, we went to, like, the same private school. the boarding school, it's about, you know, just outside of Boston.
Oh, yes, the boarding school.
Well, this is fantastic. Well, I'm glad I get to share this new adventure with someone I know. This is fantastic. Pardon me. My name is Joshua Winscott. Welcome to my new house. I just inherited it from my aunt. It is fascinating. And he offers you his hand to each of you.
So how old does he look?
Oh, he's about the same age as Dottie. Yeah, I'm not too old.
20, 30?
How old is Dottie?
Dottie's 27.
Yeah, so he's about 27, 28, somewhere in that range. He had an elderly aunt who seemed to have liked him best of everyone. He invites you into the kitchen for some coffee. And he pulls out a Turkish cigarette and has a smoke as he tells you about this new house that he's gotten. It's one of the oldest houses in Providence. It goes back to the colonial days before the revolution. And that his ancestor, Elijah Winscott had it built back in around the 1800s, early 1800s.
Not really pre-revolution, then.
Post-revolution. I got my dates wrong. Then post-revolution, pre-Civil War. Pre-Civil War house. It belonged to him after he had it built. It belonged to him shortly before his death. And he has discovered in this house that there is tunnels connected to the bottom of this house. So there was an old bricked over section of the wall that he's kind of chipped away at, and he's found tunnels underneath. He had he had a friend of a friend who he knew who knew about some things, and Mr. Bennett had contacted him and told him that some people were going to come and help him with this new discovery.
Rats?
Oh, there's no rats. No. Not a squeak. No rats at all.
Anything out of the ordinary?
Oh, I haven't noticed anything out of the ordinary yet. It's quite intriguing. I'm very much into the history of this area. It's quite fascinating. And you get the feeling, this guy really is a local history. He's kind of a little bit of a local history buff.
Okay.
So he starts handing up cups of coffee to you all, and he's back and says, yeah, so no, it's going to be a bit of a spelunk, I'm hoping. And there should be something, I think there's something interesting down there, but I could not tell you what. I'm hoping to find quite a bit of local history revealed down there.
Dorian kind of says, this guy's going off about his basement and tunnels and shit in the walls. Dorian starts muttering about, yeah, great, another fascinating basement. And just sort of pats Conrad on the shoulder and walks over and takes his coffee. And
it's good coffee. Like, it's much, much better than what you're going to find in a diner.
Oh, good.
Dr. Gibson would notice that Dorian seems a little off-put at the moment.
He might. He might have to roll for that if he really wanted to know. But that's okay.
I will.
Well, it's not hidden, so it's not a spot hidden. I suppose, you know what?
I'll let you psychology.
Have it. I suppose you have psychology, yeah.
Ooh, 33.
Okay, yeah. Dorian seems a little off-put by the whole notion of going into a basement, it seems. It seems strange.
I'll just keep that to myself.
Yeah. He says, at first I thought it was just an old drainage system, but it seems to have been connected to a larger corridor, which is fascinating. I thought it might have something to do with there were rumored old slave tunnels underneath Providence that were connected up to the waterway after slavery was made very much illegal in this area. So I thought that that would be really neat. I had hired some laborers to help me with it, but when I realized kind of what it might be, I thought, maybe rather than bring up a bunch of potential illegal things my ancestors did, I thought I'd just not have a bunch of common laborers just kind of showing up and pretty much possibly spreading rumors about town about the family. I mean, I do know what my some great grandfather was about. He very much was involved in the slave trade, but that was when it was legal. Not that that's a good thing, but
what you've described, sir, so far seems to be, shall I use the word mundane? Interesting, but at the level of being mundane, you haven't noticed anything you would consider to be outside of that description now, have you?
Outside of well, I mean, certainly interesting. But no, I mean, if you mean have I noticed like vagrants living down there? I haven't seen anything like that yet or anything like that. No, I don't think anyone's been living in the tunnel. That would certainly be weird. I would be very much put out if I thought someone was living underneath my new house.
Yeah, certainly. You don't have anything on the history of this house now, do you? Is there any, perhaps old records, diary entries, things of that nature that would give the reader a clue as to some of the things that have happened here in the past?
My aunt previously owned this house, and she was, she wasn't a big fan of the potential family history, so she kind of donated a lot of those records to the local library and the Anatherium. Honestly, as the keeper, I'm not sure how to pronounce this word properly, but it has a lot of it has an extra A in there for my pronunciation, but I think I'm kind of close. And those records were kind of disposed of. She wasn't terribly proud of, and to be quite frank, I'm not that proud of my family's history in the slave trade either. But she kind of wanted to clean up the family image a bit.
Yeah.
So she kind of got rid of a lot of the records that were in the house. Some of them might still be able to be found at the John Hay Library or at the Providence Athenaeum.
Okay.
Or Athenaeum. I do believe if you go to the library, you can take a look around in there. I believe there is a fee to belong to the Athenaeum. I think it's $15 a year or something like that to be a member to go through their records. But you can definitely go there. I'm pretty much done for the day for exploring. I like to get back at it first thing in the morning.
It's like supper time then?
You're getting onto there, yeah. You can see that he's kind of a little on the dirty side, and he's been sweating and whatnot. He kind of looks like he broke through a bit of a, like, potentially he's broken his way through a wall and has done some little exploring. Plus this, and he says to you, plus it'll give you a chance to get anything you might need together for, like, we're going to be going into the dark. So if you don't have a flashlight or something, you might want to go, you know, make sure you have all the things that you can
see what progress you've made, sir, before we call it a day.
Well, sure. I just wouldn't recommend going too far beyond. I don't have enough light for everyone.
That's fine. We just need to just get a sense of what we're looking at.
Absolutely. He takes you into the kitchen, leads you down the stairs, and you see that he's cracked his way through a wall. You see some tools off to the side, and you can see just a fairly large tunnel system back behind the wall.
So the foundation wall he broke through, and there's a tunnel.
It wasn't so much a foundation wall. Someone had very much bricked over this. This existed at one point, and then this existed as an open access at one point, and someone had then afterwards bricked over it.
How well does the tunnel look like it's been made?
The tunnel looks kind of natural.
Okay.
Yeah.
And parts of it, the connection up to the main tunnel, like there is a tunnel, the connection to a tunnel, and that portion looks like it was carved out by hand. It looks well made. It looks like it's been around for a couple hundred years, pretty much. Or, wait a minute, let me think of this through. No, wait, over 100 years. But doesn't seem any worse for wear for having been that long.
So basically it looks like this house was connected to a cave system.
Yeah. So someone is carved out to a cave system.
Or like a underground railroad of some type.
Yeah, except an underground potential. Based on what he's been telling you, more like an underground reverse railroad.
Okay. So, is there anything else here in the basement that draws the eye as of interest?
Not so much.
Last basement we were in had a lot of interesting things.
No. I mean, it has the stuff that you'd expect to find in... Well, I mean, I don't know what you'd expect to find in a rich person's basement. It seems to have basement stuff in it. You know, there's, you know, some crates, barrels. It's not nearly as haphazard as the last basement you were in.
Fabergé eggs and...
No, there's no Fabergé eggs. People don't keep those in their basements. Most people don't, anyway.
I got me some basement stuff.
Yeah, you know, there's things for the upkeep of the house that are down there, tools, supplies, that kind of stuff. You figure this is where he got the stuff he needed to break through the wall.
Okay.
But of anything else you see, no, you don't see anything that you might deem to be supernatural about this basement. It's just a basement.
Okay. So I'm going to suggest then that Conrad, before the library closes, goes over to the library and see if he can find out anything about this house.
Are we splitting up or are we all going in the same direction?
Go to the library.
Okay, which library do you want to go through? There's the John Hay Library and the Providence Athenaeum.
Well, I've got a pretty good library use and pretty good English, so I should probably just go to the library, the John Hay's one.
Okay, you can do that.
Are those skills applicable to the Athenaeum?
Yeah, library use skills, library use skill. It's considered a library. It's just a private library.
Oh.
That's why you have to pay a fee to get into it.
Maybe I'll go there and try and persuade whoever's sitting at the front desk.
Charm your way in.
Yeah. Try anyways. Fast talk them.
Well, you can try if you want. Are you splitting up or are you staying together?
No, I want to go to the private library.
Private library? Okay.
Dorian's not much use in a library.
Okay.
All the repeated blows to the head and whatnot.
Sure.
He's while you guys are doing the research thing, I'm gonna hit up the hardware store and pick up some supplies that we might need for checking out these tunnels. I'm thinking like miners' helmets. Anything else anybody can think of?
Yeah, lights, rope, boots,
axe,
an axe,
pickaxe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go grab all that crap and meet you guys at like he checks his watch, say 3 hours from now at the local Denny's.
Mr. Kennedy, what do you want to do?
I want to go to the library.
Which library do you want to go to?
Free library. I'm a veteran. I'm not paying for a library.
Very good. Okay, so we'll start with Dr. Klein and Mr. Kennedy going to the John Hay Library.
Okay.
So this is the current home of Brown University's library collection. It was opened in 1910 and is found at 20 Prospect Street. And it looks, let me find it. I'm in the wrong folder because I was looking at stuff for the previous investigation.
It's fairly new then.
Fairly. So it looks, I've got to open up the chat here. It looks something like, come on. There we go. As it loads, it looks something like that.
Sure looks like a library.
Doesn't it? Okay. So the library is the marble edifice in the English Renaissance style, and is already proving too small to adequately contain the enormous collection within. All right, you open up, and the ground floor is open to the public area and consists of one long reading room with reference shelves and periodicals. The mezzanine floor above the entrance is the Harris Room, and with its two-story stack and inscribed fireplace. And the third floor contains rare books, a large exhibition area, and specialized collection, including the Ryder Collection of Rhode Island History.
Okay. Well, we want to see if we can find anything that his aunt, Josh's aunt, did we get her name? I don't think we got her name, right?
No.
No, we didn't get her name. We got the ancestor Elijah Winscott.
Elijah Winscott, yeah.
Yes. I'm not sure if I have her name.
Aunt Petunia.
Sure. Aunt Petunia Winscott.
Okay, so we need to see if we can find any records donated by Aunt Petunia Winscott.
Okay, make a library check. Both of you.
Library use.
Yes.
Okay, so that is a 32, so that is a hard success.
Regular success.
Regular success, very good. All right, you find connected to, you find some records connected to Elijah Winscott having been connected to the slave trade in 1796.
Elijah the
slave. The house was built in 1796. And he lived in it briefly before becoming ill, at which point he retired to the countryside where he died in 1811. Michael Winscott, Elijah's nephew, inherited the house. With the end of the slave trade, the family's various remaining business ventures, such as textile manufacturing and rum distilling, maintained the family's fortunes after the Civil War. With the closing of their textile factory, the family's fortunes steadily declined. There's his aunt's name. Her name's Florence. We can go with Petunia anyway because it's more fun. With his widowed aunt Petunia lived in Elijah Winscott's home until her recent death, where she bequeathed it to Joshua, which you find in periodicals. You find this through various articles in the newspaper as well as some of the records of Providence history. And that's mostly what you're finding. So those were the, you did find a little bit of records there that she had donated, but most of it was news clippings and information about town, about the town.
Fairly mundane.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nothing stands out.
With that, you also find out that Rhode Island was one of the most active northern colonies in the slave trade, controlling over half of the trade in all of the U.S.
Oh, really?
Yes. Newport was the most important of the ports, but Providence was also greatly involved. Despite emancipation that began during the Revolution, the ownership of slaves continued until until the 1840s. And originally, slaves were primarily sold in the West Indies or brought back to Rhode Island to work on their own plantations. When the slave trade expired in 1806, Rhode Island served the slave trade to the south, shipping as many of their slaves as they could before they were technically illegal to possess.
Okay. All right.
You do find that over the years, discovery of drainage tunnels and bricked-over cold storage rooms underneath some of the houses on College Hill, which is where the house is, have stoked speculation that they were used to smuggle slaves into Providence after the laws against the slave trade were passed. And in 1901, a cornerstone and nearby tunnel was rediscovered during renovations on the house of John Brown. The stone was inscribed with Brown's name and the date 1786 and appears to have stood at the entrance of a large tunnel running towards Benefit Street. It's wise enough for two grown men to crawl through. So this was thought to have been used to smuggle slaves in after they were illegal so they could be used as part of an underground slave trade.
So tunnels are around in numerous houses. And this particular one, John Brown from 1786.
This is kind of a confirmed. This one was okay, this one was for use for nefarious purposes.
One wonders if these tunnels might be used to bring in booze on the sly as well.
Well, that is an interesting thought experiment, and perhaps that could become a lucrative underground illegal venture. But that's not why you're here. You're here to investigate.
Well, I don't know. How much could we make? I mean, geez. Okay, well, put that to the side for now.
And as you wrap up your discoveries about the local history of Providence, we'll go to our other doctor, Dottie, over at the other library.
Can Dottie grab, like, a thing of, like, crab cakes to bring to persuade whoever? So I'm like, what's Rhode Island famous for? seafood, I guess?
Chowder.
Yeah, chowder.
Chowder.
Crab cakes. I don't know, something fishy or, you know.
You roll around the dice on someone you don't know being into the food that you're bringing.
It could calamari. Be the thought that counts, right?
It could be. It could be. Or you could bring the thing they hate the most, but only luck can tell for that. Are you going to bring something? You can if you want to. Okay.
I would like to bring some crab cakes.
Crab cakes?
Oh, I just happen to have these with me. You can have them if you'd like.
You are bringing food into a library. Excellent. Okay.
Oh, shit. Finger food, too.
Yeah, you're bringing greasy finger food into a library. Shit. This ought to be good. Okay.
Maybe I will change my mind to chowder. They can eat it with a spoon. It's fine. It's fine. No greasy fingers.
You do realize there are not styrofoam takeaway bowls in this time.
Are there services? There's service. I don't fucking know. Okay, scrap it then. Treats for the library people.
No treats for the librarian. Okay, well, you do come up to the Providence Athenaeum. I'm not sure how I'm pronouncing this. You do approach it, and the building looks like this. It also looks kind of like a library, but it's looks like it's a bit older, a bit more, maybe a bit more money went into it, as it is a private library.
It has ivy on it, so it must be esteemed.
Indeed. I think that's part of what's going on there. So,
Jacob, open the door for Dottie to walk in first.
Well, thank you, Mr. Gibson. Dr. Gibson.
So this is a private lending library. It is in the beautiful Greek Revival style. And it was built in 1838. The library includes many historical documents, but access is limited. Thank you, Mark.
Athenaeum is how you pronounce it.
Athenaeum? Thank you.
Go play the sound for you.
Okay.
Pocket crab cakes.
There is a clerk at the front desk.
Peppermint.
Welcome to the Providence Athenaeum. See how well I know how to say it? I must clearly work here. but no. The clerk welcomes you to the Providence Athenaeum. I don't recall you. See, having seen you before, are you a member of this institution?
I give it to Dottie.
Dottie's just going to be like, no, we're actually from out of town. We were hoping that we could come and read into a house. And
oh, fantastic. Membership fees are $15 a year.
She tries to, like, bat her eyes and just act real sweet and try and persuade them. We're just here for a time, just for a job. We don't get paid for our job yet. Do you think you could turn a blind eye?
I'm going to say roll a persuasion roll with disadvantage.
I got a motherfucking 9.
roll the 10 die. Roll a d10 again.
5.
So that's a 59. Because you were rolling with disadvantage. So what's your persuade score?
Oh, wait. Because disadvantage, I think, would that be 14?
No. What it is you roll 2 tens dies and you take the higher of them. So since it was a 5 on the tens die, so the second one is 59. So what is your persuade score?
Okay, because I was rolling my 100 dice, and that was my 9.
And that's fine. So what's your persuade score?
It's a 70.
It's a 70? Okay.
A regular.
With a regular success, he looks at you and says, well, I mean, it's not like you're here all the time. I suppose I could give you a discounted rate for $6.
I think that's more than fair. Now, would Dr. Gibson have to get to pay $6 as well?
Yes.
I tried, man. I tried.
It's okay.
So you sign up for a it would be more than that. You sign up for about an 8-month membership. You got it at a very steep discount.
I'll take it.
But it's not for the whole year. And since you're not really going to be here for the rest of the month, the clerk feels fairly confident that this is good for the institution as a whole. And so he has you fill out some paperwork to become members for the year, for the intervening time, and collect your paperwork, which has your name and address and everything. So it's entirely possible that you're going to receive mailing letters about what they're doing.
But will that affect my sanity points?
No, not at all. You're just, you're just going to be annoyed with mailing letters.
That's we're going
all.
To get junk mail.
Yes, yeah. You're not going to get junk mail.
No, I know. I'm asking about that'll affect my sanity if I can hate junk mail.
Spam. Yeah.
So you are now invited to come in and make use of their library.
Well, go ahead and do a library use, okay. If I may.
You may, and as soon as you put the headphones back on, so can Dr. Gibson.
It would be my D100, right?
D100, yes.
77?
Out of?
And 70.
No, no, you only have to, it's not with disadvantage anymore. It's just roll it once.
I did.
Oh, 79 out of 70. Oh, okay. So you failed. Dr. Gibson,
yeah.
Make a library use check.
12.
I think is that an extreme success?
That is that's my fifth. So, nope. 14 is my fifth.
Okay, so it's a hard success. That's still good. That's still very good.
18. My, okay. I gotta read the right freaking skill.
Okay, so it is an extreme success. Yep. You see that Dottie starts getting distracted in the periodical section. She seems to have found some articles that are, you can't quite tell whether she's enraged at the quality of the article or whether she's deeply invested in it. You can't quite tell that just by looking at the expression on her face, but she seems, as a journalist, she seems to be invested in certain written articles and is not finding anything. You, on the other hand, find about the same amount of information as the others did, but because you're in the private library where a private letter has been donated by Aunt Petunia, you find the bishop letter.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm glad I didn't find that.
It gets easier to read if you zoom it in. So,
but, yeah.
I will read it.
Okay, perfect, because I couldn't zoom it in.
Providence, January 5th, 1811. Dear Philip, it is with immeasurable sadness that I will tell you that Elijah Winscott has passed from this world and is now in the loving arms of our Lord. We had all known that he was not in good health for some years in both his body and his spirit. He had made it... Oh, shoot. I think it's a better version in my PDF. Hang on.
Yeah, this is pretty low resolution.
Yeah, it's much better in my PDF. I kind of did a snippet. Okay, there we go. It's because it's got dual lines for the script, so it doubles over when you're trying to read it. He had made it most hard to know his troubles, for he had quit the company of his fellows. I did visit him in the country house where he had lived for some years now. As he lay in his sick bed, he broke his silence and told me a tale that I cannot properly reckon. I do not rightly know if I should tell it now to you, but I know you worried greatly for our friend. He recalled me that 15 years past he had pondered how he might continue our trade, which had served us so well. The hateful laws against our livelihood and the troubles that beset our good John Brown caused him no end of upset. Well, I remember, as you must, Elijah's character and speaking in the tavern during this time. We thought it idle fancy and too much drink. We all of us laughed to hear him speak of how we should dig tunnels beneath the town. We did not know then that 'twas not idle fancy altogether. We did not know that he had been making plans in secret. For when the cellar beneath Elijah Winscott's home was laid, a tunnel was found. This tunnel did go close to the river, and it was no matter to dig it yet closer. He would use this passage to shepherd slaves to and from the town. All had been set, and Elijah did wait happy in his home for his men to bring him his slaves. But they did not come. When he began to wonder what had kept them, and he and the men he had to hand went down to see what they might find. They found death. In straining voice, he told me of the parts of men strewn like rags across the tunnel, white man and slave alike. He could not be sure, for he did not linger, but he did think that not all men were accounted for, nor did he note anything of the slave women. But where could the others have gone, and what had come from them? What had come for them? The shadows of the caverns did seem to lean at him, keeping the mystery from him. Quickly he returned and quickly he made the walls of strong brick underneath his home and near the river to keep out whatever may be below. He knew no rest from that day forward, certainly not while he remained in that house. All we knew then was that he fell ill and spoke no more of schemes to thwart the laws. From his sickbed at the end of his life, he said that chasms plunged deep beneath the town, and he had quit. He peered out his windows at the swaying red maple trees and seemed to calm. I can only think that this country house was some peace to him as he breathed his last. May his heirs have better fortune in that house in Providence than he. With sincere esteem, Jacob Bishop.
Alrighty. I will note down the important parts and then put it back to where I found it.
Yes, it is not meant for you to keep.
Did you have any luck, Dottie?
Dottie, you have been engrossed by the fact that a rival writer for the Boston Globe's articles are here, while some of yours, it seems you think are much higher quality, seem to be missing. And that has occupied your time to a great extent.
I apologize for... she's just going to fib and say she couldn't find anything where she was looking.
Very good. Very, very good. You find all the same information about Providence and the Winscott house that was found by Mr. Kennedy and Dr. Klein. And with that, we'll move over to Mr. Dunn. Mr. Dunn, let's make an accounting of what it is you intend to acquire.
I'm thinking that the hand lantern, are like mining helmets with the light on them around in the 20s?
I have to look that up. I don't know.
Sure, it would be a Brody helmet with a light on it. That's one right there.
Oh,
those are headphones.
These helmets were approved for service on 15th of May, 1916. Now, were they available to the public in 1916, or were they available to mining companies in 1916?
Well, the Brody helmets were used as infantry helmets in World War I, so they'd be at any surplus store right now.
Ah, were they used by Americans with lights on them?
Well, I mean, that one was a firefighter helmet. It had a leather flap on the back, but easy enough to convert.
Well, yes, it would be, but would a hardware store carry them? No. So you're probably more looking for flashlights and lanterns.
All right.
Of which, we talked about it before, there are flashlights available, and you'll need batteries for those. There are also carbide lanterns as well as kerosene lanterns.
I'm going to assume that we all still own the ones that we bought last time.
A carbide lantern with a tank of carbide... I don't know what you normally pack in your luggage.
Oh, no, I didn't bring my lantern. But I'm going to assume that Dottie still has her flashlight.
Yes.
And I don't know if anybody picked up Goose's.
Harold's
flashlight. Dorian did not.
So are we letting Dottie? Sorry.
Steve, please make a luck roll for me.
How does 12 sound?
So that 12 sounds like it's below your luck. Yes. So yes, Harold's flashlight was picked up. Let's see here. Out of the four of you, you picked it up.
All right. So yeah, I guess I'll pick up two more flashlights because they seem to be the new rage.
That's only four of you, and there are five of you.
Okay, I will buy three flashlights then.
There we go. They are all the rage. Would you want to pick up some extra batteries, too?
Yeah, I might as well. Dorian's got some cash.
He does.
Not a lot, but...
Some more of your money has come over from Ireland. Not a ton of it, but some more of it.
And then, yeah, I'll just pick up some rope. The doctor suggested boots, so I'm just going to say that Dorian would have got everybody's shoe size, and I'll pick up some good hiking boots.
Some good hiking boots,
or cave boots if they got them. I don't know if there is a cave boot.
Work boots.
You can find hiking boots.
And then,
even old combat boots would do it.
Might be hard to find those for Dottie's size of feet. She's not very big, and women's feet tend to be a little smaller than men's.
Come on, they would have made them in my size.
Unless Dottie was a freak.
Common footwear for soldiers back in 1914 to 1919. That's a bit of a stretch.
Would they not have also been sending very, very young men out to war that may have smaller feet? I don't know, I'm pushing it.
The men had to fool them to think that they were adults.
Okay, so, never mind.
Yes, some men would have passed some young men would have passed for adults, but they would have had to appear to be adults. We're going to say, and for those that would have been smaller, there's fewer of them than those who are of common size.
Fair enough.
I'm in the thing. I'll open the window for a minute.
There's a fly in here. It is too hot.
What else? So, rope and lights and a pickaxe.
Pickaxe? Let's see what I can find here.
I don't think a pickaxe would be that difficult to find.
No, I'm just trying to find it on my list of stuff.
Oh. What else might we need? A canary? Oh, wait, no, we're not actually mining.
You're not.
Maybe some sacks.
A sack full of sacks?
Do you want to buy?
I'm not buying a sack full of
sacks. No, I have a suggestion if I can make it, or can I not?
If you think you would have made it before you guys parted, you can.
Chalk.
Yes, that is a good idea.
Yep, chalk's available.
Yep.
So you've got boots, flashlights, rope, and chalk. Anything else?
Overalls.
Yeah, probably not buying overalls. Dorian is going to buy himself some grubby clothes, like some work clothes.
Okay, sure.
But I don't have everybody's sizes, so I'm not buggering about with that. But I will grab some work clothes for myself, and you know what? I'll grab a set that are roughly the size for Donald, because between the two of us, we are the largest of the men, and will likely be doing the physical labor while we are in the thing. If physical labor needs to be done.
Sure, sure. Just doing some math on what this is all going to run you. This is going to cost you a little north of $60. Which is a fair amount of money in that time.
Yep. $60.
Like, we'll call it $60 even because you're buying a bunch of stuff and...
Yeah, all right. I should be able to deal with that.
I'm going to be very specific, and I'm going to ask everyone what they brought with them that they would think they would need on an adventure, or what they would need in an investigation, not an adventure. You're investigating. What did you bring with you that you think you would need?
Bullets.
Bullets? Is that what you said?
Extra bullets.
Extra bullets and your gun fully loaded? Okay.
I ran out last time.
Yes, you did.
You didn't hit anything last time.
That is also true. Actually, no, he hit once.
I got one hit.
Got one hit.
Must have forgotten all
both.
That. Misses.
He hit the first time, I think, and then he missed second. Every single time after that. Second one? Okay.
That'll both bring Reggie.
Say it again, Mark.
I'll bring Wrenchy too.
And your wrench? Okay. Kate, what is Dottie bringing with her that she thinks she will need to investigate?
Well, she'll have her switchblade. You said that she still had her flashlight. So she'll have that.
Yes.
And then I guess, I don't know. I think rope sounds pretty all right. A little dainty, so she won't have like a pickaxe or anything like that.
Okay, so you already have another rope with you. Okay, so there's another rope. That's good. Steve, did Dorian just bring his brass knuckles with him?
Brass knuckles, money. Yeah.
Okay.
The flashlight that I picked up.
Yep. What did Dr. Klein bring with him, Grant?
Dr. Klein, I've been thinking about that. Dr. Klein smashed his lantern in the face of that sorcerer last time.
He sure did.
So that's out. So I will be relying on the flashlight purchased by Dorian. And he doesn't have any weapons. I guess he's just wearing his suit and hat.
Does he want to change that? Does he want to bring something that he could thump something with? It's not outside the realm of possibility.
Not really in his nature, so...
Okay. That's fine. Yeah. Okay.
Dorian could be teaching you to box as payment for therapy.
Oh, well, my fighting brawl did go up. I managed to roll it.
Well, there we go. Goose, what is the good doctor bringing with him?
He'll have his sidearm with extra rounds. He'll have a set of jeans, flannel shirt that can get dirty and stuff, a small backpack.
Okay. Yes, I was going to tell you that you likely did not bring your rifle with you.
No.
Okay, good.
No, I'm investigating a house. The likeliness of me using my long rifle is going to be slightly nil.
Yeah, and I would almost have argued that you haven't had an experience where you would think you would need a gun, except that now you've read about body parts, and now you brought the gun with you. Now you are considering
carrying the gun,
carrying it all the time. If you hadn't gotten the letter, I might have argued against you bringing it with you because you had no reason to.
Yeah.
But you now have a good reason to. Okay. With all their goods acquired, you know that you're going to meet Mr. Winscott at his house in the morning. So you are now able to meet back together at your hotel and talk about this as in any way you want. Other than that, it's dinner in bed.
Yeah, just we'll make sure everybody knows about the history of the slave trade, the Elijah Winscott who built the house was a slaver. He's been dead for over 100 years. We've heard that before. And the family was rich, but they went downhill. Rhode Island was big into slavery. Didn't end until the 40s, 1840s. And there are tunnels around. It has been determined to be not uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a potential business venture here. If we could think about later using these tunnels to bring in other things, there might be a market for.
Steve, upon hearing that, I would like you to make an intelligence check. Because I don't have a criminality check for you. I can't hear you, Steve. You're muted.
We're on mute.
I got a 22, which is below my 50.
You, upon hearing that, think about it, and you know some people who bring in hooch. And if you know about that in Boston, especially 23 out of 50, that's a hard success. Yeah, you've heard word that someone might already be making that kind of activity here. You haven't worked directly for those people, but you've worked for people who know those people. And it's up to you whether or not you want to discuss whether or not that would be a good idea to muscle in on somebody else's rum running territory.
I don't want to get into too much detail, but let's just say that ship has already sailed. We're a bit late to the game at the moment.
And we are a little out of our element. I just thought it was amusing. So.
You kind of know, Steve, that the prohibition coming about was a planned for event.
Yeah.
There was good money to be made in this.
Al Capone is all over it.
Into Chicago area, which you're not familiar with at all, but yes.
Jacob will also relate to what he found, how Elijah went down in the tunnels and found dead bodies of slaves and his men prior to sealing it up.
Torn apart. Parts everywhere.
I understand there is a slight time difference between then and now, but if you have a weapon of some sort, I would suggest you bring it. Because who knows what's down there now?
Could be a gator.
Big old gator.
Big old gator.
Or who knows? Could be a rat or turtles.
I prefer to see a big old gator down there. Anyways, so, that's everything. You all bed down for the night, and you all get a good night's sleep. You wake nice and early, you wake up around dawn, head down, catch a meal in the hotel has a restaurant, good place to get a bite before you head over. You don't know how long you're going to be down in those tunnels for, so not a bad idea to get a good breakfast in. And it's not just a continental. You get something with some real substance to it. Meat and eggs. And there's even some fish options, which in New England is not something that's new to you.
If there happens to be like a bowl of fruit or anything sort of like that, Jacob will grab a couple and put them in his backpack.
Okay. All right. Y'all catch a cab and head over to the Winscott house. And you get there, go to the front door,
proceed and knock.
Okay. Nothing. No one seems to be coming.
There's nobody in the house?
No one has answered your knocks.
Oh, so the door is actually closed this time.
Yes, the door is closed, and no one's answering the door.
Is it locked?
Is there a car in the driveway?
You do note that Josh Winscott's car is still in the driveway, yes. The door is not locked.
All right. Hello?
No answer.
And like yesterday.
No answer at all.
Proceed in slowly. Cautiously. Okay.
You do note that the way down to the stairs was through the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Lights on, off? Lights on or off?
There's lights on in the kitchen, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not hidden. If you're investigating the area as you're moving through, you note that there is a note written on a piece of paper in the middle of the counter in the kitchen.
Let's take a look at the note.
The note says, I could not resist. I had to head down as soon as I awoke. I'll meet you down there. Come find me.
Oh, the impatience of youth.
Dorian's putting his foot brass knuckles on.
Of course. So you head down into the basement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You head down into the basement, and you notice that there is a stubbed out Turkish cigarette right next to the hole out into the tunnel system. It does seem that that was not there last time you were here. So it does seem to indicate that he has made his way into the tunnel system. And as you take your first real steps with the prospect of investigating this tunnel system,
lights on.
We're going to end it right there. Thank you for joining us for this first step into the darkness beneath the hill. I have been your keeper of arcane lore, and joining me tonight has been Goose.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time.
Mark.
Anathenaeum.
Thank you, Mark. Graham.
Take care, everyone. Good night.
Kate.
Thanks for having me.
And Steve.
Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. To find us on the socials, look to linktree.com/COJ Roleplay, and we will join you next time. For all of us, thank you for joining us, and goodbye.